pray, I just lift your hands. Let's worship the Lord before we get into the word. Amen. Right there, I just lift your hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You deserve the glory and the honor. So we lift our hands to worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory.
Evening. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do this weekend, God. We're expecting miracles to take place this whole weekend, Father. Lord, we've been preparing, we've been fasting, praying, hitting the streets, God. Lord, we've been believing you, God, and we just pray, Lord, that you would just start us off tonight, God, by speaking to us. Minister to our hearts. Prepare our hearts, God, for what you have for us. Lord, we give you all the praise. Lord, we thank you for all those that came from Victor R.H. Hayward, God. We thank you for the workers, God, that you have sent, God. We thank you for Pastor Stevan, God. We thank you, Lord, for the move of God that you're going to do tomorrow and the drama. Lord, we just dedicate this whole weekend to you. And tonight we pray that you would speak to us through your word. We give you all the praise, God. We give you all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Anoint my life, God, here tonight in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise tonight. Praise the Lord. As we remain standing, go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Amen. Let's go to the book of Luke. Amen. Chapter 15. Tonight, I titled this message, The Lost and Found.
Amen. All right.
Maybe they can bring my little setup I have. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read basically the whole chapter here, so bear with me. Verse 1, starting in verse 1. This is a beautiful chapter because this chapter really shows us the heart of God for the lost. And I love reading this chapter. And the Lord was just ministering to me today as I read and as we got prepared for this weekend. Amen. I think it's very important that we understand the love of God that he has for the lost. How many know once we were lost?
Yeah.
Right. We were lost at one time, but Jesus found us.
Amen.
Come on, so how many know we didn't find Jesus? Because Jesus wasn't lost.
Come on, Pastor.
Come on, somebody. Amen. But Jesus found us. In that gutter. In that dope house. In the hood, in the projects. Skitzing on meth, on ice. Jesus found us. Amen. Tell your neighbor, ain't you glad Jesus found you? So this chapter here really just displays and shows us the heart of God for the lost. Let's read it. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. I'm reading out of the NIV here today. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Ain't you glad you were a sinner? Look to your neighbor, tell him, "You sinner, you." Ain't you glad Jesus eats with sinners? "Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner."
Come on.
Somebody say, "One sinner."
One sinner.
Tell them, "One is worth it all."
One is worth it all.
"Over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Wow. Or supposing a woman has 10 silver coins. Or darchima, as they say it in the Greek. And loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me.
All right.
I have found my lost coin.'"
Yeah.
"The same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner."
Amen.
"Who repents."
Amen.
Verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." How many know when the devil's done with you, he ain't going to give you nothing? When you're locked up, when did the homeboys go visit you? Put money on your books. Verse 17, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to him, to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Let's just pause right there and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we love you. God, I pray that you would just anoint this word to our heart, to administer to us and speak to us in a special way here this evening. We give you all the praise and all the honor and glory in the mighty, matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. There's some things that I can't really remember a lot from my youth. But I still remember this one thing when I was in elementary school. I remember being introduced to a box. The box where there would be a lot of math books, science books, social studies books, library books. There are also different knickknacks in that box. Ugly sweaters, blue jean jackets. You would hardly find anything of value in that box. Something like this. I mean, you find an umbrella. I wasn't into umbrellas back in the day. You'd find different books because kids didn't really use books. You'd find little teddy bears, I guess. Right? I remember going and being introduced to this box and looking into the box. Every time I looked into that box, nothing really caught my eye about that box. Nothing inside of it really drew my attention. This box was labeled "The Lost and
Found."
Does anybody remember that box? Or that was only my elementary school. I was introduced to the Lost and Found box. If you lost something at school, you were told to check it and put it in the box. If you lost something at your school, something of value, you're called to go check the box. If you found something at school, you were told to put it in the box. But you probably rarely put it in the box. That's why every time we went to the box, we couldn't find it in the box. Come on, somebody. So rarely, if you lost something, would you find it in the box? To me, as I look back, that box was meaningless and worthless. Because it seemed like nothing good ever came out of that box. Come on, somebody. I mean, who really wants the science books and the math books? Come on, somebody. It was probably me who put those books in the box. I remember losing something and going, when I lost, I think it was like a sweater or a jacket, you know, and it was a nice jacket. How many remember when, you know, you don't lose a jacket? You don't come home without your jacket. At least not my house. Amen. Huh? Because mom or dad will say, "You need to go back," and you don't come back to you. Bring that jacket back with you. Now, I remember one time I lost something, And I remember every morning going to check the box. Every time the bell rung after school to go check the box. But it would never be there. No matter how many times I would go check that box, the thing that I had lost wasn't in the box. But every once in a while, that box would surprise someone. Oh, come on, somebody. Every once in a while, somebody would look into that box and find their lost ugly sweater. That was like a miracle. I remember, I found my shirt. Where'd you find it? In the box. I said, I never find nothing in there.
Come on.
That was like a miracle if you found your lost possession in that box.
Come on.
I like to think of our church.
Amen. Come on.
Victory Outreach.
Come on.
Like that box.
Amen.
Oh, you didn't hear me tonight.
Come on.
I like to think our church, Victory Outreach, like that box. The lost and found box. That every Friday and Sunday, and every time we gather for Life Group or Life Flow, the Father comes.
Come on.
The Holy Spirit comes.
Hallelujah.
And He looks inside to see if what He lost. If what He lost has been found. I said, we're that box, Victory Outreach.
That's right.
I said, we're that box.
Yes.
But it takes something in order for that box to be effective.
Come on.
Every Friday, every Sunday, God comes and looks into this box. To find out, did someone bring in his lost possession?
Come on.
Or did we just keep it to ourselves? If you're like me when I was young, come on, somebody, you didn't turn anything lost. I remember, remember we used to do those little candy sales, candy fundraisers for elementary, right? And some poor kid would lose his whole candy box. I found it. Come on, somebody. And the last thing I did was put it in the lock.
Come on.
We're like that box.
Amen.
We're like that box.
Yes.
Did someone have the heart, the integrity, the honesty to return something or someone to their rightful owner?
Yes.
To their rightful owner. There's four things we need to know about the lost. There's four things that I want to share with you here tonight. That the Lord wants us to know about the lost. The first thing, the Lord wants us to know the value of the lost. In Luke 15, the first two verses, it says that Jesus was eating with the sinners, and not just with the sinners, but even with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they looked at the lost. And they began to mutter, the Bible says, between themselves. They began to talk between themselves that this man, this Jesus, eats with sinners and tax collectors. And the Pharisees, it says that they muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. See, to the Pharisees and to the teachers of the law, the sinners and the tax collectors, they had no value. They had no value, almost like the stuff that you would find in the box. It had no value. How many times did you go look into that box? Some people probably, got the good stuff out of the box. Huh? But all the bad stuff, they left it in the box. What do I need this blanket for? I have no need of a blanket, so I'll just leave it in the box. What do I need this MacBook for? I have no need for a MacBook, so I'll just leave it in the box. See, the sinners, the religious teachers, or the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they see no value with those sinners. So therefore, they didn't eat with sinners. The only reason they were at the table is because Jesus is at the table. Because they seen the miracles that he did. They kind of had a level of curiosity about Jesus, and they wanted to kind of see his miracles and hear his teaching. They weren't there because they wanted to sit with the sinners. They were there just to be looky-loos. But see, these Pharisees and these teachers of the law, they seen no value in these sinners. They looked at them as the scum of the earth, as the rejects of society, as the outcasts. But ain't you glad that Jesus didn't look at us like that? Amen. Ain't you glad that Jesus didn't look at us like that? He didn't look at us as just outcasts. He just didn't look at us as people that had no value. But when he looked at us, he seen something so much that he says, I'm going to spend time to build a relationship with them. I'm going to spend some time to eat with them. I'm going to spend some time to spend some time with an intimacy with them, because I see value in the lost. What do you see when you see a drug addict walking down the streets? What do you see when you see a streetwalker, a prostitute walking down the streets? Do we see a soul? Do we see somebody with value? Or do we see somebody, we pay them no attention, you just pass them by?
Come on now.
In verse 9, in chapter 15, it teaches us the value of how Jesus looked at the lost. In verse 9, it says, and when the lady finds her coin, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. Yes. Jesus here is teaching this parable, and he's trying to get us to see the value that he places on the lost. That he values them so much that he's going through all this trouble in order to find the lost.
It's good, it's good.
This coin, it was the Greek coin. It was called a darshima. And this darshima was worth about a day's wages.
Come on.
And the point when Jesus was telling this story before the Pharisees and before the teachers of the law and before the sinners, they were hearing this. He was saying this in front of the sinners and in front of the religious people, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And so when he was explaining this story to them, they perfectly understood what he was saying. They understood that the lost coin represented the sinner. And so the point that he was making, he's saying, why you may look at them as the nobodies and the rejects and the outcasts, I want you to know that to me, they have value. To me, they have purpose. To me, they mean something. To me, they have a place in my heart.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
They knew exactly what Jesus meant. That these sinners, they were extremely, extremely valuable to God. And the first thing that God wants us to know about the lost is that there's value in the lost.
Yes.
That they just ain't nobodies. They just ain't rejects or people that, that are nobody. No, they have a value in my kingdom. They mean more to me than anything. The second thing Jesus wants us to learn about the lost is the search for the lost. The search for the lost. The search for the lost was intense and thorough. When we read about the story of this lady, this woman, and I like that Jesus used the example of this lady being a woman. And it says that this woman had 10 coins and she lost one. She lost one. She had 10, but she lost one. To me, it's like, well, you know, it's just one. Just leave it alone. But he uses an example of a woman. And it says that this woman began to light a lamp, sweep the whole house, and search carefully. And she didn't stop searching until she found it. It's first, she did this because first she understood the value. The value of this lost coin. Listen, as Christians, we will not search for the lost if we don't understand the value of the lost. If we don't know how valuable they are to God. I want you to know, listen, if they're valuable to God, they should be valuable to us. And not because of what they can bring to the table. No, because they are souls. They're a person.
Amen.
And if we don't see the value, if we don't understand how God values them, we'll never value them.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. You know you've got religious.
Woo. Come on now.
When you cease to value the lost. You know you've turned the page from a relationship with God to a religion with God when you no longer value the lost.
Wow.
Ouch. Come on now.
Listen, I like coming to church. I like, you know, watching church. I like church. But listen. Sometimes you could be, you know, going to church or you could be watching church and you kind of think to yourself, am I just being religious?
Come on now. Go ahead.
Help. Because it's easy to go through the motions.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up, come on somebody, in church life.
Yeah, it's true.
This is why, listen, we're called Victory Outreach.
Yes.
This is why we do outreach.
Wow.
This is why we do, you know, dramas and rallies and crusades. We do these things. Why? Because listen, Jesus values the lost.
Right.
And we got to guard ourselves from becoming religious.
Right.
Wow. Come on now.
They say that the church has become keepers of the aquarium instead of fishers of the sea.
Wow.
God didn't call us just to be keepers of the aquarium. Mm-hmm. But God called us to go to some deep sea fishing.
Yeah.
Are you ready to go deep sea fishing?
Yeah.
Are you ready to launch out into the deep?
Come on.
Amen.
See, when the disciples caught a big harvest of fish is when Jesus told them to launch out into the deep.
Amen.
See, when you just hang out in the shallow part, you're just going to get those little yucky fish. Most of them. But it's when you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, when you're sensitive to the voice of Jesus, that you're able to launch out into the deep and you obey the voice of Jesus and you throw the net out. That's when you're going to catch a harvest, my friend. But listen, you're not going to care about the harvest. Churches are not going to care about the harvest if they become religious. They become like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. We can't get like that. We gotta understand the value of a lost soul.
That's right.
We have to understand. You have to understand. If somebody's not saved in your family, you better pray for them.
Come on. Yes.
And you better look at them you gotta look at them through the eyes of Jesus.
Amen.
You gotta look at them through the eyes of the Father. And listen, when you look at them through the eyes of the Father, you'll see how the Father loves them.
Amen.
You'll see how the Father has he has set them as the apple of his eye and he wants to reach them.
That's right.
Amen.
And when you begin to look at them like that, you'll look at them like God's mission that he's assigned to you.
Amen.
Not just your family, but you're in your city, in your community. When you begin to look at the lost people within your community, at your job, at your school, in your city, you begin to look at them with the eyes of compassion, the way Jesus looked at these sinners, and also how he looked at the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Because Jesus was, he wasn't trying to reject the Pharisees, he was trying to reach them too.
Amen.
This is why he allowed them at the table.
Amen.
Yes.
Good, Pastor. Yes.
We might get some Pharisees to come into our church.
Come on, Lord.
That's all right. Because what's on us will rebuff on them.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Huh?
Jesus loved the Pharisees. He loved the teachers of the law. This is why he was always rebuking them. So, listen, if I'm always rebuking you, it's because I love you. If I don't tell you anything, then it's because I don't care about you. There, I told on myself. This woman, she was a serious lady.
Come on.
I mean, she was serious about finding her coin.
Right.
She had 10, she lost one, she said, oh no. Prende el foco. Who's that? Huh? Come on. I can't find it. Oh, we sweeping this house. The Bible says she swept the whole house. I mean, the whole house. When's the last time you swept? Come on, somebody. I mean, you swept your room, right? Huh? I mean, you like swept, like, you know, you did your area. When's the last time you swept the whole? Come on, the whole house. Oh, come on now. This lady was serious. She was a serious mama. Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? Do we have any serious mamas out there? Oh, come on now. Saturday mornings, you get the kids up. Come on, we're going to clean up this whole house. They thinking you, they cleaning because you want a clean house. No, because you lost your purse. You lost $20. Oh, come on now. You heard your husband lost $20. You had the kids up early. Come on, we're going to sweep this whole house. They think, oh, mama wants a clean house. No, she just wants those $20. She was serious. She was a serious mom. She didn't play.
Come on now.
Come on, somebody. She didn't play. She didn't play about finding her coin.
Come on.
Huh? It's like us. We're serious.
Yeah.
I said, we're serious.
Yeah.
We're not playing.
Come on.
I told you a long time ago. I've always told you this. Me and my wife didn't come here to Grand Prairie and to Arlington to play church. Me and my wife didn't come to the city. Our pastor didn't launch us out to the city to play patty cake with the devil. We didn't come out here to play church. We didn't came out here. You know, I didn't come out here just to make you laugh and scream and yell at you and spit at you.
Come on.
No, my friend. Huh? We came because we were serious.
Yeah.
We were serious about reaching a city. We're serious about winning souls. We're serious about advancing the kingdom of God. We're serious. Victory Outreach, Heart of the Bay, Hayward brought their play not to play.
Come on now.
That's right.
Oh, come on now.
Right.
You hear Brother Eric?
Come on.
Going to war.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Right.
So that's my type of language.
Yeah.
Huh? So that's he's speaking my lingo.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on now. Huh? See, he said we came to help you fight.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I used to be in a gang.
Yeah.
I know what fighting is.
Yeah.
I remember being in the neighborhood of the gang, you know, and it's no secret, you know, I still kind of like wearing red a little bit. I used to be in a gang called Oak Cliff Homeboys. Our color used to be red. And, you know, we were like the only Mexican gang that wore red. Everybody else was like blue and black and stuff. And, for some of you think, Pastor Toast Scripture, no, I got a blue one like this too, amen. And I remember, you know, we were like a small gang. You know, we weren't a big gang. We were a small, you know, small neighborhood. There was probably about 20, maybe 25 of us in our gang, you know, that we clicked in or whatever. And there were some gangs that were bigger gangs, you know, 100 people, 50, whatever, you know. And we're a smaller gang, you know. And then every once in a while, we'd run into a gang that they liked our color or they wanted to kind of be, you know, what do you call it? Allies. Or how do you, really what it was that old thing, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
And so whenever, you know, we had, you know, we found somebody who they didn't like the people that we didn't like. Oh, come on now. We got along real good.
Yeah.
And I remember that it felt good to have another clique to kind of join forces with.
Yeah.
Now, Victory Outreach is not like that. We're a family.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, we've been delivered from that gangster mentality.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen. But it's good. Amen. It's good. Listen, Victory Outreach, we don't, you know, God didn't raise us up to play patty cake with the devil. God didn't raise us up to play church. God raised us up to make an impact in the inner cities of the world. God raised us up. He didn't raise us up just, you know, just so that we can play and look good and you know, just be blessed and be part of a big bless me club. Listen, God didn't call us to be a bless me club and, you know, you bless me and I bless you and you scratch my back and I scratch your back and you take me out to eat tonight and I'll take you out to eat Sunday morning and that's all good. Amen. Fellowship is good, but God just didn't call us to be a bless me club. God called us to be a war, an army. God called us to make an impact. God called us to be on the front lines. God called us to be in the concrete jungles of the world. God called us to be right there in the right on the front lines in the trenches. Who else goes where we go? Who else does drop? Who else?
Come on.
I mean, I look at the shotgun video.
Come on.
You know, I said, my God, who else does dramas like that? I showed it to some people. They said, this is a church, you sure?
Come on. Come on, Pastor.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? You know, it's kind of like, you know, when we tell other church people, you know, like, yeah, you know, the churches, yeah, we we're doing this drama. And they look at Dios mío. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? We get on the radio. We didn't get on the 94.9, the Christian KLTY radio channel.
Come on.
Break it down.
We didn't get on KCBI, the Christian channel.
Amen.
The radio station.
Yes.
Huh? No, we went to the worldly radio station. The radio station I used to listen to. Pastor, I heard the commercial! Really? And what were you doing listening to that? Busted! I'm just kidding, amen. No, I'm not, but yeah, you We went on that radio station that does the shout outs.
Come on.
Yeah. I want to shout out to Shy Girl and shout out to Big Happy and. Huh?
Come on,
somebody.
Come on now.
Huh? You know, we God called us to be on the cutting edge.
Yes.
God calls us to be on the cutting edge.
Yes.
Huh? This is why we're out there doing rallies all day, every week.
Yes.
Why? Because listen, if they're not going to come to church, we're going to take church to them. We're going to get outside the four walls of the church. We know that the building's not the church, but we're the church. And if people ain't going to come to church, then we'll take church to them. We'll take church to them. This is why we're doing the drama there at the M&B Hall. That is like they party in that place. But on this night, Victory Outreach is taking over, and it's going to be the presence of God. It's going to be holy ground. That's where we used to have church. Before we came here, we would rent that hall out. And they would party on Saturday, but we'd have church on Sunday morning. See, the search for the lost is intense and thorough. The search for the lost is intense and thorough. What are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing when we do things like this? We're searching for the lost.
Amen.
Amen.
But Pastor, why do you got to make so many flyers? And why do you got to get us to be in the rally? And why do you want us to go to the rally? And why do we got to show up? Why do we got to volunteer? Because listen, this search is intense. Yeah. It is an intense search, my friend. We are serious about reaching the lost. They just don't fit the... My pastor used to say it like this. Fish just don't jump in the boat. Come on, somebody. Not as you got flying fish. Amen. You got to go out there and catch the fish.
Amen.
You got to go out there. You got to use different bait sometimes.
Huh?
So there we are. We're finding ways. If we got to get the broom and sweep the city with the broom, the whole city. We got to comb the whole city. We got to go street by street, block by block, house by house, apartment by apartment. Why? Because this search is an intense and thorough search. This is what Jesus was saying. This is what he was trying to teach the church. Listen, if you're going to reach the lost, if you're going to help me reach the lost, you got to know it's going to get intense in the church. It's going to take some work. It's going to take you rolling up your sleeves. It's going to take you sweating a little bit. It's going to take you growing weary a little bit. But don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time, you shall reap a harvest.
Yes, Lord.
We've been doing one drama every month this year.
Come on,
Lord. Man.
This is why we called. This is why I called Pastor Stephon.
Come on.
We got tired of doing it. You come help us.
Come on.
I love pastors that come help.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Man, they brought a whole army.
Amen.
They brought a whole army, almost over 30, almost 35, close to 40.
Amen.
Wow.
Close to 40. You know why? Because they know the search is intense.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Huh? You know, right now the bus kind of had a little issue right now. Pray for them.
Amen.
They had to go to a pit stop. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? But they're on the way on the bus. Why? Because they're serious about winning souls. Whether it's their city or it's not their city, they know that God has called us. They know the value of souls, my friend. They know the value of souls, and they'll know it takes, listen, it takes the heart of this woman. She turned on the lamp. She swept the whole house, and she did it not stop until she found what she was looking for. And Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, we cannot stop until every sinner in our city is saved. Well, Pastor, when can we take a break? Well, Pastor, when can we take it easy? When every last sinner in our city is saved. And then when that happens, we'll go to the next city. And we'll go to the next city. And we'll go throughout the state. And we'll go to the next country. And to the world. Until every single sinner is saved.
Come on, somebody.
The search is intense. It's thorough. We got to know the value of the lost, the search for the lost. And then God wants us to know the condition of the lost. Look at verse 13 through 16. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant, somebody say distant, country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen out of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a grunion. Nada. Zero. God wants us to understand the condition of the lost.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
It says that he went off to a distant country. What this symbolizes is the lost is distant from God. Huh? Is distant from God. This son, the younger son, went off and he says, I want to get far away from my father and my family and my household. Why do I want to get farther away? Because I don't want nobody to see me partying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be. I don't want nobody to see me walling out. It sounds like some backslider sometimes. Come on, somebody.
Help us. Come on, Pastor.
But listen, this is symbolic to people being distant from God. The condition of the lost are those that are distant from God. I don't know about you, but when I wasn't saved, I was distant from God. I remember being in that trap house. I remember sledding dope out of a trap house. And I remember feeling the presence of evil. I remember feeling death. I remember feeling darkness upon my life. And I remember kind of being afraid a little bit. And I remember turning the TV and switching the channels and pausing a little bit on the TV preacher. And then I change it because I get a little bit spooked because he started talking about hell and the rapture. Are you hearing me? Being there with a pocket full of dope, a joint and weed, and just right there slanging dope. And I remember feeling like so hopeless. And I would look to my friend next to me, and you know what I'd tell him? I'd say, hey, bro, hey, amigo, pray for me. He looked at me crazy. Pray for you. Yeah, I said, yeah, pray. The preacher said, pray. So pray for me. He said, you pray for yourself. I can't. He won't listen to me. I'm serious. You know why? Because I feel so distant from God. That's how I felt. I felt so distant from God. But then as I continue to watch those preachers, I begin to learn that He's close to the sinner. He's close to the brokenhearted. But sometimes the lost, we're in a condition that we're so distant from God that we feel like God can't even hear us. We feel like God can't even save us because we're so lost and deep and embedded within our sin. The Bible says that this guy, he went off to a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth. He squandered his wealth. And while living, in other words, he was broke. Nothing catches your attention better than being broke. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on now. Sometimes when you get this, is why you got to be careful. You better not ignore God. Because if anything that can drive us to our knees is when you ain't got two pennies to rub in your pockets. See, when he had it all, he didn't pay no attention to God. He wasn't looking for God. When he had it all, he was okay on his high horse. But when he was broke, he was broke spiritually. He was broke physically. And he was broke emotionally. He was broke. He was broke. He was down. He was broken spiritually. He was distant from God. Even physically, he was hungry. His stomach was growling. He probably lost some weight. He was broke emotionally because he was distant from his family. He was in a place of being broken. This is the lost's condition. They're distant from God. They're broken inside. Then the Bible says that he was in need. He was in need of food. There was a famine in the land. So that means he was also in trouble. Because if he had no food, then he was this one step closer to dying of starvation. So he was in need. He was in trouble. He was starving. And he was at the bottom. He was helpless. He was hopeless. This individual, this was his condition. Remember how you were lost. Wow. Remember how when the sister was telling her testimony, how she was contemplating suicide. Remember how you were broken. Let me tell you, don't ever forget that. But listen, remember how you were brokenhearted. Remember how you were depressed. You were suicidal. You were high. You were addicted. Now remember that there's still thousands of people out there facing what you were facing right now. Right now, there's somebody contemplating suicide. Yeah. Right now, there's somebody overdosing. Yeah. Right now, there's somebody feeling like they're going to die. Right now, there's somebody feeling the presence of evil. Right now, somebody is in the hospital crying out for you. Right now. Right now. This is their condition. just because it ain't our family, it ain't our friends. But yet they're out there. They're out there. Some people believe that these stories, these three stories, the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and the story of the lost son, the prodigal son. Some theologians and Bible teachers believe that these stories are about those that are going to be restored. In other words, they believe that these stories were made for the backslider. Somebody that used to be in the church or used to be saved and then went back to the world. This is why they, you know, the prodigal son, you know. Some people, some teachers of the law, they believe that, okay, that's what it's talking about. But then there's also other teachers that believe that these stories have strictly to do with sinners. I say that it's both.
Right.
Amen. It's for the backslider and it's for the sinner, that the individual that's never once first came to God.
Yeah.
Listen, when I came to God, when I got saved, it was my first time being saved. Mm-hmm. I grew up going to Catholic church, but I didn't know nothing about being saved. 19 years ago, when Jesus came into my heart, on March 3rd, the year 2000, my spiritual birthday, when I was born again. 19 years ago, that was the first time I gave my life to Jesus. And I thank God that I have never had to go, I have never went back to the world. Have I been perfect? No. But I've never gone back to the world. So we know that there's backsliders. We know that there's prodigal sons. We know that they can come back and give their life to God and be restored.
Yes. Right.
But we can't ever forget their condition.
That's right.
Don't ever forget the condition of the backslide.
That's right.
Of the lost individual. The last thing, the piano player can come up, that God wants us to know about the lost. God wants us to know the joy when the lost is found. He wants us to know the joy when the lost is found. In verse 6 and in verse 9, these verses are similar. And it says in verse 6, it says, then he calls his friend and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you in verse 7 that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not repent or who need no repentance. Listen to what it says. He says he calls his friends and he calls his neighbors. The guy that lost the sheep and found the sheep, he calls his friends, he calls his neighbors, he says, come man, let's have a cookout, let's have a party, man. Rejoice with me because the sheep that I lost, I now found. And then Jesus says, I tell you, there will be more.
Right.
In other words, he's saying the joy that is found on earth when one person gets saved, there's more rejoicing in heaven. When that person gets saved. What does that mean? That means there's rejoicing on earth and there's rejoicing in heaven. You may not rejoice when you see somebody you don't know get saved. Huh? We should, but you may not. We should. We should all rejoice tomorrow when people get saved.
Yes.
We should, if somebody gets saved tonight, we should all rejoice.
Yes, right.
But you know when you do rejoice? When it's somebody you know. When it's somebody, when it's your sister, when it's your brother, when it's your cousin, when it's your mom, when it's your dad that comes into the home. Come on, somebody. When it's your son that comes to this altar and is broken, then you're right there rejoicing, crying, broken, rejoicing. See, the family, there's rejoicing on earth when people get saved.
That's right.
My mom and dad rejoiced when I got saved. At first, they didn't know what hit them. At first, they didn't understand. They're like, okay, how long is this going to last?
Yeah.
Right? Huh? You know, really. Because when you first get saved, they look at you with that one eye up. Right? Right? That eye like. When you first get saved, like, I'm saved, I'm served God, yeah. And they look at you like. And then they see you like, you know, going to church, you know, 1 week. And they're like. And they look at your eyes, and they're not red and dilated. And they're like.
Oh, mom.
What's he up to? Did he find a new girlfriend or something? Right?
Yeah.
Huh?
No, Pastor.
And then they live like that. But then they see you 2 weeks going to church.
Come on.
Just like. And then 3 weeks going to church, and they're really like. And now they're investigating.
Right.
Looking through your social media, your Facebook profile. Now they're really kind of like.
Hello.
Then a month goes by, huh?
Yeah.
In 2 months, then they see you staying faithful to God, and all of a sudden they really start to rejoice. You know how you know when they start to rejoice? Because they start to tell everybody.
Right. Come on now.
They start to say, tell Tia Concha, and, you know, Uncle Tom, Uncle Bill, right? They start to tell everybody, my son, yeah, man, he's going to Victory Outreach. Man, he's testifying. Man, God's going to raise him up to be a preacher. He is a preacher. And you ain't even started preaching, but they call you a preacher already because you're always preaching to them. Come on, somebody. They're rejoicing. Huh? But heaven rejoices even more. That heaven rejoices even more. And God wants us to know that there's joy when the lost are found. There's joy. It brings joy. When we reach the lost church, when we reach the lost, when we save souls, allow ourselves to be that vessel that God can use to reach people for His honor and glory. We will bring joy to how many moms, numerous of moms and numerous of fathers, and we'll bring joy to a lot of wives and a lot of husbands and a lot of parents. We'll bring joy to a lot of family here on earth because now their loved one is not on drugs no more, and they've been praying for that. They've been wanting that. They've been long. They tried everything. They tried AA. They tried the 12 step. They tried everything to try to get that person to change, but all of a sudden they get saved and they see them serving God. It brings joy to their hearts.
Yeah.
It brings joy.
Good.
One person getting saved just brings joy. It brings joy to people here on earth.
Amen.
And it brings more joy in heaven. You know why? You know why it brings more joy in heaven? Because heaven knows there's a hell.
That's right.
That's right. Come on.
And I know, Christians, we know there's a hell, you know. And not unless you're a Jehovah's Witness.
Come on.
Jehovah's Witness don't believe in hell.
Yeah.
And then there's even Christian churches now that start to, they try to take hell out.
Yeah.
Because they you know, they say, oh, the loving God won't make hell. And so they say that there's no hell. But listen, the Bible tells us there's a hell.
Yeah.
That's true.
Huh?
That's right. Come on now.
Bible tells us there's a hell. Huh? But you know who doesn't doubt hell? Heaven.
Right.
And those in hell.
Come on.
Who doesn't doubt hell are those in heaven, because they know, man, there's a heaven, there's a hell.
That's right.
And so whenever they see one person get saved, they rejoice.
Yeah.
Whenever they see somebody being condemned to hell, or people, you know, dying without Jesus, it pains them, bro. Because they know that they're going to have to spend eternity. Oh my gosh. Think about that. Have you sat and thought about being eternity without the presence of God? Being eternity without anything good? Being eternity in the flames of hell fire? It is inimaginable. I don't even want to come on, somebody. But we must think about it. Because if we don't, will squander our inheritance in wild living.
Come on.
Just like the young prodigal son.
Wow, man.
There's people that all of a sudden, you know, you gotta be careful, you gotta guard your heart, even in the church.
Right.
Come on, in the church, because today, nowadays, there's all kinds of false doctrine, and people try to lure you away. It's okay. You can live the way you want to live, and you'll be okay, and God will forgive you, and you, the grace of God, and you know. The enemy will try anything to pull you out.
Yeah, that's true.
It works. Come
on. Try to deceive you.
Yes.
Come on now.
But you gotta look intently. You gotta know the scripture. And know that there is a hell. And when we see getting people saved, we can rejoice because we save somebody from going to that place of eternal judgments. We're the lost and found.
We're the lost and found here.
Jesus.
We were lost, but now we've been found.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Will you bring somebody to the lost and found?
Mm.
Bring somebody tomorrow, church.
Yes.
Bring your family, bring your neighbors, bring your friends to the drama.
Yes.
And that place, that M&B Hall, you know what it's going to become? It's going to become a big box of the lost and found.
Come on.
Right.
And you know what's going to happen? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit's going to come look into the box.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to come look into the box. And they've been seeing Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. They've been seeing Victory Outreach Hayward. They've been seeing them coming and bringing people to the box. They've been coming and seeing bringing the lost to the box. Bringing the lost and throwing them in the box. Will you be that one that brings the lost to the box? Come on, somebody. I know that person looks insignificant. I know that person looks like they really ain't nothing. Everybody ignores them. Come on, somebody. See, you know what I trip out? Sometimes it's like the people that they don't have it going on. Nobody wants to talk to them. No, they're not the popular ones. Come on, somebody. But it's those that will listen. Come on, somebody. It's those that might come. And to the world, they may not seem like anybody. Yeah, that black sheep of the family. Yeah, that one that nobody wants to talk to. Oh boy, Victory Outreach talks to them. We talk to them and we love on them and we bring them and we put them in the box.
Amen.
And God comes and he sees them in the box. I'm glad he's seen me in the box.
Amen.
He's seen a broke, busted, disgusted. He's seen an individual that nobody wanted to. You know what happened when I got busted, when the laws were on my tail? None of the homeboys or the dope dealers wanted to sell me nothing. When I needed something to sell. Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody wanted to touch me. Nobody wanted to touch me. Nobody wanted to touch you when you're in your mess. But when he sees the senior in the box, he said, I finally found. Somebody turned it in. He turned him in. He turned her in.
Yeah.
I finally found what belongs to me.
Mm.
You are his treasured possession, Victory Outreach. There's so many treasures out of darkness that are still out there, and they're waiting to become and brought to the box. Bring people tomorrow. That's the whole point of this message. That's the goal of this message. I know people are going to come from the flyers. I know people are going to come because they heard it on the radio. I know people are going to come because they've seen it on social media.
Yes.
We've spent hundreds of dollars already on just promotion and evangelism. Flyers, we ordered 20,000 flyers. We put it on the radio. It all costs finances. Everything we did. I looked at my wife one day and I said, you know, because we had some added costs. And she just looked at me, she says, it's worth it all, hon.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
It's for souls.
Yeah.
For souls. It's for the lost. We are called to reach the lost at any cost.
That's right.
And even if one sinner, the Bible says, and you know, I love this verse, the chapter, because it says, when one sinner repents, when one repents, there's heaven. It'd be worth it all if just one gets saved tomorrow.
Right.
If just one family gets saved tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's worth it all. It's worth the thousands of dollars. It's worth all the flyers. It's worth all the blood, sweat, and tears. It's worth all. It's worth it. To reach the lost. Bring them tomorrow. Bring them Sunday. Bring them to church on Sunday. Every Friday, every Saturday. This is the lost and found right here. Bring them to the house of God. Fill up your car. Get rid of that little Mini Coupe. Come on, somebody. Buy you a van. Come on, somebody. Get rid of that two-seater. Bring people to God. Bring people to Jesus. Preach to them about Jesus. Take them to the rallies. Preach to them wherever you go. But let's reach the lost. Because as we see from chapter 15 of Luke, he is serious about reaching the lost. And so should we be.
That's right.
I want you to stand to your feet. Somebody once said this, a church that doesn't reach the lost is lost itself. A church that doesn't reach the lost is lost itself. Tonight, right there by your heads, close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you for searching for us, for finding us. We thank you, God, because we were that lost sheep. We strayed away from the flock. We were those sinners. We were that lost coin. But you swept the whole house looking for us. You did not stop, even when we wanted you to stop. Even when we asked you to stop, just leave us alone. You didn't stop. You kept sending people our way. You kept speaking to us. Your Holy Spirit kept on reminding us of the word. Your Holy Spirit kept on reminding us of the message. You kept on putting people in our path. You kept on putting flyers in our way. You kept on allowing us to run into your people. We were that lost son, that prodigal son, God. Some of us, God, we walked away from you. We went to the world. We squandered our wealth and wild living. But even then, still, God, when we were sick and tired of being sick and tired, God, and we felt the weight of the world on our shoulders, and we felt like you would have nothing to do with us no more. The devil lied to us and said, you know, you've left too many times. You've been in the home too many times. You've messed up too many times in the church. Oh, but God, you raised up a standard against the enemy, and your message of hope, God, began to penetrate our hearts, and your love, God, penetrated our hearts. And God, you kept on, Father, to where you brought us back into your house. And when you seen us so far away, God, you ran up to us and gave us a big hug and a kiss, and you put the ring on our finger and our sandals on our feet, and you clothed us with dignity, Father God. Lord, because you loved us, you were married to the backslider, God. Lord, we thank you that you didn't abandon us, Father God. We're so grateful, Jesus. We're so grateful. But don't ever let us forget, God, how our condition was. Don't ever let us forget, Jesus. So that we could have compassion on those that are still lost and still hurting. Continue to fill us with that burden, God, to reach the lost. Let us as a church be thorough. Let us be like that woman, God, who was relentless in her pursuit to find that lost coin. There's a lost coin out there. There's a lost soul out there, Jesus. When we go out to the streets and we go out and evangelize, God, let us take it to heart. Let us give it all our heart, God. Let us weep with people. Let us cry with people. Let us spend time with people. Lord, in the name of Jesus, continue to raise us up to be a church that loves the lost so that we can reach them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Tonight, I'm going to open up these altars. You feel like the Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe God is just putting a fresh burden for souls in your life. Maybe God has been dealing with you about maybe just being more evangelistic. Maybe before you used to be on fire for the streets. You used to go to the rallies. You used to go to the street team when it was called. You were there on Friday nights, during the weekdays. But somewhere along the road, you kind of lost that fire. You lost that passion. But tonight, you realize that you need to grab that passion back. Tonight, this altar calls for you. Maybe you don't want to lose that burden for the loss. You come. Maybe tonight you're that lost coin. Maybe you're that lost sheep. Maybe you're that backslider. You've walked away from God. Tonight, God is calling you back. I want you to come. Come to this altar. You come. Don't hesitate. Give your life back to Jesus. Give your life back to God. The Father is here. His arms are wide open. He loves you. He loves you. And he still has a place. What I love about this story of the prodigal son is that God, he gave him a better position than what he had before. Even though he squandered his wealth, even though he squandered it, he looked past all that. He said, you still got a place. You're not going to be a servant. You're going to be my son. You are the son of God. You are the daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to be changed. My heart's open wide. I call on your name. Don't let me leave this altar the same. Don't let me leave this altar the same.
don't grow weary of well doing. Keep on bringing people to church. You know what happens sometimes is we lose our fire to bring people to church. But you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Every time you bring somebody to church, you're sowing the seed. You're putting something in that box. Every time you invite somebody to church, I know it ain't easy sometimes to bring people to church, but are you constantly inviting people to church?
Come on.
Are you constantly handing out flyers?
Yeah.
I already told all my co-workers. Tell them again.
That's right.
This is why it's important to go to the streets as Christians. Especially if you're in it for the long haul. Because you can be Christian, you know, I've been saved already 19 years. I've told a lot of my family, all of my friends and homeless gang members, they know. I've already told everybody in my sphere of influence. And you would do the same thing. You'll tell all your family, you'll tell all your co-workers. Keep on telling them. But then, okay, you gotta like, well, you know, you want to push them away, so you just kind of be a light. But then guess what? Now you gotta go to the streets. Now you gotta go tell your neighbors and beyond your neighbors. Then you gotta go to the world and go to mission trips. Because there's a lot, billions of billions of people that you still haven't told. And maybe God has it ordained in heaven for you to tell them.
Yes.
And they don't listen to nobody else, but they're waiting for you because you're the one that holds the key.
That's right.
And as every time you invite somebody to a church and bring somebody to church, you're putting things in the lost and found box. You're putting things in the lost and found box. Huh? And guess what? As you go to that lost and found box and you put things in there, guess what? You also take a look. You may not find something that's yours, but just keep putting stuff in there. Just keep putting people in there. Because guess what? One day, you're going to come to bring something.
Yes. Tell it.
And you're going to find something that's yours.
Yes. Amen.
One day, you're going to come to church and you're going to find your son in church.
Amen. That's right.
You're gonna find your daughter in church.
Yes.
You're gonna find your dad in church. You're gonna find. I tripped out, man. I never for years when I was praying for my family to come to church and get saved. Never would I thought. You know, never would I thought my dad would be in church.
Come on.
My dad, he don't come on Fridays, but he comes faithful on Sundays.
Come on.
My dad, my pops. Matter of fact, I ran into him during the week, you know. I was doing stuff and we had an old house that we used to live in when we were little. And I passed by it and something told me, it was the Holy Spirit, to bust around and go check that house. And he was sitting in the parking lot just asleep in his truck. My dad's older. And he was doing stuff and I went in there and I talked to my dad. I was talking to him. You know, he was there because the tree fell, the storm blew the tree down and cut off the electricity, so he was there waiting for the electric man, whatever. And he was there in the heat, taking a nap, you know, and I just, you know, was there with my pops, talking. And I was just talking to him, and you know, I looked, he was there, and he, you know, he had a little pocket right here, right? And he had papers, but you know what I seen? He had papers, but then he had a stack of flyers. Like, you know, 75, 90 years old, he has a stack of flyers. I didn't tell him anything, but I look. It touched my heart, man.
It touched my heart.
So rejoice.
Yeah.
That's the rejoicing. That's earth rejoicing.
Yeah.
Oh, if you would have known me and my dad before, I'd be beating him up, man.
Come on.
When he didn't let me go out, I put him to the ground. That was mean, that was bad. But I never would have thought he'd be the one coming to church.
Amen.
But he comes every Sunday.
Amen.
I came to the box. I just kept on putting things in the box.
Amen.
I just want to continue to put things in the box. This is my son Frankie playing the drums.
Amen.
I remember going, when I first went to Pastor Jesse's church, his son was playing the drums. Little guy playing the drums. Never would have thought one day I'd be a pastor and my son would be playing the drums.
Come on. Amen.
But I know the reason. It's my daughter. My daughter's up here. Alex is going to Panama in 2 weeks. So let's just came back from Panama. I know all this is happening because I just keep putting things in the box.
Amen.
And every once in a while I come and I find something that's mine in the box.
Amen.
Oh, God is good,
yes.
Church.
Yes.
Keep putting things in the box.
Yes.
Keep putting your tithes in the box.
Come on. Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
That's a seed right there.
Right.
Continue to bring your building pledge.
Amen.
Your kingdom builders. You're united,
yes.
We can.
Yes. Yes.
You're united, we can. You got family in Mexico?
Uh-huh.
You got family maybe in Panama? You got family maybe in another South America? I don't know. Or Europe maybe? Or Germany? We got an international box here in Victory Outreach.
Yes. Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
We got an international box. They even have a lost and found at the Mighty Men of Valor World Conference. You lose your Bible, you might find it, you might not. Hello, somebody. I know why I said that. It's just free, amen. When you go to World Conference, amen, you lose your Bible.
It's true.
Keep putting things in the box. One day you're going to find something of yours in the box.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, let's fill up the box.
Yeah.
Let's fill up the box.
Yeah.
Tonight, go home. Text everybody you know. Call everybody you know.
Yes.
Amen. Go rent a van. I don't know. Amen.
Come on.
Fill your car up. Bring people.
Yes.
Bring people. Tell your tia Concha, tio Chuy, you know, Uncle Bob. You know, tell everybody. Blast it on Facebook. Amen.
Yes.
Come early. Come tomorrow morning to the chapel service. Amen. And, you know, we ran out of flyers. Amen. But that's another thing I was going to tell you. We're going to have a recall on flyers. Amen. If you got flyers at home, you know, just looking pretty. Because I know people like to collect flyers. I don't know. It's just a thing. People like to collect little stacks of flyers. Amen. And then when I go to your house, I get mad. I said, well, do you have those stock of flyers? Why do you? Oh, because I wanted to keep it. That's what represents a soul, man. That could have been a soul. Amen. But let's get rid of all the flyers. Amen. If you got any flyers, bring them tomorrow so we can continue to finish them. I don't want to see no shotgun flyers laying around the church after this weekend. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got to say that, man, because we do events like this, and then I go around, and I start finding big stacks of flyers everywhere. I'm like, man, I thought we ran out of flyers. Well, we didn't visit the Perez house. Amen. So bring all your flyers. Amen. If you have any flyers, the church, we've already given them all out. Amen. What happened, Brian? We got disconnected? Okay. Amen. By myself. Amen. Bring your flyers tomorrow morning. Amen. Bring your flyers if you have any. Amen. Bring church flyers. Bring whatever. And then we'll go out, make some noise. We got our bullhorn tonight. There's a street team, right? Brother Urban, for Pastor Josh. You guys organize the street team. Let's go out. And then also, right after, once we say amen, join those that are going to help with ushering, security, altar workers, amen, setting up, amen. If you want to volunteer to help, amen, you need to meet us in the kids ministry, amen. Don't go nowhere. We're going to have a quick huddle so that we can let you know what you're going to be doing tomorrow, amen.
Amen.
Let's put our hands to the plow, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Were you blessed?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Also, make sure that you just say hello and talk to our Hayward family. Amen.
Yes.
If you're from Hayward, wave at everybody. Amen. So that they can recognize you. Amen. From Victory Outreach. Come on, give them a hand. Amen.
Yes.
For being here. Make sure that you fellowship with them. Amen. And thank them for being here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the praise and glory. Have your way, God. Tomorrow, tonight in the streets, God, tomorrow the drama, just take full control. We pray for a harvest of souls. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen. Meet us in the children's ministry. Leaders, help us coordinate that. Amen. Praise the Lord for all those helping tomorrow. Amen. God bless you.
You gonna come? You gonna be here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Help out?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Stephen, come on. Put him on. Go meet to the kids.
David, move on.
Go meet to the finisher. All right, good. Just need that.
We're on back. I didn't find him, so I just set it back on the big table.
Thank you. just got robbed. Somebody just stole a Six Flags hat.
What the? Why are you saying that?
Over there.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody stole a Six Flags. And I ain't even worked there. Somebody just stole a hat.
Oh, he's stealing. He's stealing. I'm gonna go get him.
Is that it right there? Oh, this is my
hand. This is my hand. Come on.
What are you doing?
We gotta go in the meeting.
What meeting? There's a meeting?
Yeah. I told Irvin I had to handle that situation first. Come on, real quick.
Thank you. service ended and we're waiting for, they're having a huddle, the church, the ushers and different people. So we're waiting for our ride. So we were just all sitting together in the green room waiting. Eric, Erica, the two girls, Maddie, Marianne, Frank, Tina, Aziza, and myself. Because the bus broke down. The water pump went out. But I was like, those guys are probably dogging that bus. Calmate, señor. But it's done its job, you know. It's saved us money. It's gotten us from A to B, so. Not as much as it would have cost all those people to fly. Or rent something. Yeah, no, they got it fixed. They're on their way again. Going at the house. What? How's Leo? Has he checked in? We haven't even seen him. Oh, to go to work? Watch the clip that Pastor was going to show. So I'm surprised Damien went on the bus with Rachel being on the bus.
There's no joke having to fake me.
After the boom, 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 boom.
It hurts. Fake knees, man.
No.
My knee is killing me.
Oh, man.
Hammond.
I feel like my knees gonna fall off.
I'm probably gonna be here tomorrow for the little chapel thing that they're having. I just gotta figure out how it goes. I don't know I don't know how they're gonna do it.
Who's got the keys? Who's gonna get the, so like are they gonna be there at 10? Like the drunk like the little Mexican, it's a Mexican lady that's the owner of it now. Well he's still the owner, but she's like
Gargi?
Yeah, she's
Gargamel. Oh,
no, yeah, she basically we got an R.
But will she be there too?
Yeah, she has to be, unless she gave us the key. So
we try to wing that drunk, wing that rally type, or figure out what might. They're going to use, and they just use that one mic.
No, for sure, they're probably going to use it. I pray the worship.
Okay, here it is, though, right? Here's the inside secret. We're not doing pray the worship.
I know we're not doing pray the worship.
It's all rap. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be me and Sean and Hood Preacher Entertainment. So either or, you know what I'm saying? So no pray the worship. So
I'm saying for tomorrow, because break it down.
But we're going to have to bring our wireless mics up. But we can put the old mics up.
But the thing is this, we're bringing the piano. We got to bring the piano.
Why?
Because we're off the door right here. So everything else is good.
So what if we just play worship on the piano?
And then also we're gonna have to bring projector.
There's some force.
I was about to say, bro. I remember feeding them bad boys through the roof.
We're not doing none of that. We ain't got time.
You gotta find out.